I don't see deliverance as a separate ministry or a topic. Sometimes we're notorious for breaking down the finished work of Christ and turning it into our ministry. We're called the love people. I've experienced tons of people getting delivered. It's all in the process of love and giving them truth. And I know I could step on toes now because we have a whole lot of deliverance ministry out there. We have healing ministry out there. When I read my Bible, it's believer priesthood. We all have the kingdom of God in us. And what's difficult is sometimes we get our identity evolves in what we feel like we're called to, and it's all about Jesus. And all of a sudden, we're more of a certain type minister than we are a manifestation of Jesus. And our ministry becomes who we are instead of who Jesus is in us. So deliverance pops up when it's necessary in my life, and people come to the place of the knowledge of truth. There's times you bump into things. I don't go looking for anything. I believe light exposes darkness, and darkness flees. So it's not a big deal. And I could tell you testimony after testimony, people with multiple personalities, people with all kinds of stuff that I have seen completely set free without a whole lot of time and stuff. It's the power of God. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then surely the kingdom of God is upon you. So I don't know about you, but I want to grow in the finger of God, not the methods of deliverance.
I would just add to this that they are, I mean, we don't make a distinction between the gifts of the Spirit and the kingdom of God. They just operate together. So I was trying to, as Dan was answering that question, think about some of the times when I've seen God set people free from things, and they were always in the midst of ministering identity then. You know, and I don't know if it was here I was sharing the story or if it was somewhere else just very recently, but it was, this happened recently. I was in a meeting, and I was just sharing something to a young lady, and she was very kind of androgynous kind of looking, very short hair, no makeup, very plain looking, dressed in black, very just looked like a person that was having a hard time receiving from God. I began to speak to her about God, what God was going to use her to do, about worship, about doing 24/7 worship, about God using her as a worshiper. And you could tell as I was speaking to her about the future that God had for her, she kept closing down, almost like getting smaller and smaller and smaller. She was closing down. And I began to see why she couldn't receive from me. And the reason why she couldn't receive from me is because I could see she was hurt. She was hurt by someone in her past. There was a man, and I saw it very clearly. I saw who it was, who hurt her, how old she was, what he did to her. And I could have just, bam, 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 bam. The root is this. When you were 8 years old, your father, blah, blah. And instead, I just said, listen, when you're having a hard time hearing me talk to you about your future because of something happened to you in your past has identified you, because when you were 8 years old, someone that was supposed to protect you harmed you. And it, all that did was expose a lie. And I wasn't, in fact, I was trying to speak her destiny to her, and I would have never exposed the past if it wasn't blocking her from receiving. And the only reason I did, and I did it very gently, was so that she could receive what God had to say about her, who she really was. But the lie was identifying her, and the lie and what happened to her was the thing that was controlling her, and that's where it came in. Strange thing happened. I didn't even expect it. She actually levitated up, and she was thrown back like three rows of chairs, and it was crazy. And it was one of those moments, you know, people were grabbing Bibles and, you know, pleading the blood and crossing themselves, and it could have been bedlam, and I could have let the whole tone of the service change, and we could have spent a half an hour ministering freedom to this woman, but God was trying to bring truth. I just gently turned off my microphone, and I spoke just to quiet that thing, and then I began to speak the truth of God to her. And did I just touch something? I command this demon out. I didn't touch a thing. So what happened was 30 seconds and she's set free. Right? But what's I got to see, sometimes we don't get to see the end of that process. Just a year or so later, I went back to that same city. I was in a different church. This young woman walks up to me. She's got long hair. She's got makeup on. She looks beautiful. She's got a big smile on her face. She's happy. She says, do you remember me? I said, I meet so many people. I'm sorry. I just can't place where I met you. I'm sure I did. She said, I was that girl in such a church. You ministered to me and I was delivered. And I want to tell you, I'm on my way. I just applied and was accepted to IHOP in Kansas City. And I'm going to be doing 24/7 worship, just like you said. Now, I could have spent an hour going back and trying to find out at all the roots and all. But what happens is the truth replaces the lie. And that's what deliverance ministry is, and that's what identity is. It replaces the lie. So we spend a lot of time trying to remove the lie when we should just be spending the time revealing the truth to people about who they are. And then when the lie is confronted, the lie is confronted, okay? If the lie exposes itself, if that thing rears its head, but I'll be honest with you, I believe she could have been delivered even without the manifestation, because the manifestation wasn't the deliverance. It was just exposing what was there. But that truth could have come into her life. She could have received it, and that could have pushed that lie out of there, and she would have walked in that same freedom and same experience. In my opinion, that's a way that identity comes into deliverance ministry. And a perfect example in the Bible is when Jesus says to the demoniac, he's got legions of demons running around naked and in chains, and he says, just go and tell people who you are now. That's, you're set free. Now go and tell people who you are. Jesus didn't let him even attach his identity to Jesus' ministry. He didn't say, now join my, you know, you got to come get discipled underneath our program for the next 12 months, and then maybe we'll let you collect the offering at one of our meetings, and then you can work the tape table, and then after that we'll see what happens. He said, go and start telling people that you're not the same person that you were. Tell them what happened to you. And as you confess who you are, that lie is not going to be able to come back in. But if you accept that, if you accept the identity that what happened to me and that lie is who I am, then you'll still live in that. So I think that's, if you read that story I think that's Gadarenes, right? Is that right, Dan? That's a great story of how identity and deliverance work together, because Jesus wouldn't let him identify himself by his problem. He identified himself by who he really became. So that's what I would think.